Hi, Digby Wesleyan. We are so glad that you could join us together online. We want to remind you that next week, woo, we actually get to meet in person. We're going to have two services of 50 people, so please call and reserve your seats. And next week, if you can't come or you're still a little leery of getting out, that's fine. You can join us on our podcast at www.digbywesleyan.com. And you click on the podcast on the left, and it'll bring you up to the latest one, and just click to listen. So let's do this. Let's open our service in prayer. Father God, I want to say thank you for what you've been doing in our midst. Lord, I thank you that even though there's been a little bit of a slowdown, that you have been on my mind, that you have been in my heart, and that you've been in the hearts of others. Lord, I want to say thank you for the way the church has been able to help and love its community, even though there's been this slowdown time. And Father God, I'm so excited that we're finally coming out of it. Lord, I pray that you would be glorified in our worship today, and Lord, that it would be an encouragement to all those who are at home watching. So thank you for all that you are. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, you know, we want to start off our service by proclaiming that he is God, and this is called You Are God, Follow Along From Home. Your life is lived in praise for our Lord. And if you join us for the message that follows, that is what we are talking about this week. Well, you know, we try to do a little bit of a mix-up every week to do a few of our old hymnals. And we never want to forget those old songs that have helped build the church and helped build faith in many ways. And so I hope that you enjoy this one. It moves right along. It's called Deeper, Deeper, and the words are a blessing. So why don't you sing it out? Hymns from the past. I was saying to the team as we practiced a little bit that they always take me to a different time and beautiful memories and places where the Lord showed me victories. And so anyway, I love those old hymns of the past. Well, this one is a newer one. We've been doing it for a while here, but it's called Waymaker. And the words of it are just so incredible. So I don't know what you're facing today, but regardless of what the mountain is that's in front of you, regardless of what the giant is in front of you, regardless of what the sea or the ocean is before you, I want you to know that God is a waymaker. And I love this song. It's become one of our favorites. And let's sing it out and proclaim the truth that it has in store for you and I.
I worship you.
So regardless of what you face, I want to remind you that he is the waymaker. You know, there's been many times in my life when I've just had to stop what I'm doing, and I had to focus on an almighty God. And when I do, there's something beautiful that happens in the heart of a believer. It's because as we focus on him, the cares of this world fade away. And it's because, partly, he's just so beautiful. And so this has been a special song to me ever since Phil Wickham wrote it. I've just loved this song. I've loved what it's meant to me and been a part of my journey. And I always think of Don Trimper, who's one of those saints that has gone before us. We felt blessed doing this song at his funeral. It was one of his songs that he liked as well. And so this is called Beautiful, and I hope that you would just sing it out from a heart full of praise, because God is so beautiful. He is worthy of our lives. Let's sing it. this next song is just a beautiful song written by Joel Houston. And it's called Broken Vessels, Amazing Grace. And again, I hope that it ministers to your heart and reminds you of some truths that we always need to be reminded of, that we are broken vessels, and He loves us as we are.
But
hope that you have been blessed this morning, and I hope that you will join us as we open the Word and we study one last time from James. And I hope that you will call this week and that you'll join us live if you're comfortable with that for next week. Let's pray together. Father, I want to say thank you so much for your blessings that you pour out upon our lives. I want to say thank you for the way that you care for us, the way that you heal us, the way that you provide for us, the way that you know us. Lord, I'm so glad that your grace and mercy is big enough to cover all of our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would just continue to bless our county, continue to bless our church, continue to bless our lives. And Lord, we pray for our country. We pray for returning to you. Lord, go before us as we open your word, and I pray that you would stretch us, that you'd break what needs to be broken, that you'd mold what needs to be molded, and Father, that you would take us further into the likeness of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hi, guys. We want to welcome you again to Sunday, and we are looking so forward to next week when we could actually get together and meet as a family, and again, we're going to do services of 50. And it's going to be quite exciting. I can't wait to see you all. But this is going to be our final Bible study in the book of James. So the timing for the opening is absolutely perfect for what we've been doing. Yeah. This section in James chapter 5, as you guys have been following along in your Bibles, I've been excited about what James has been challenging us with and what we've been learning. And this little tiny section, this last little section, is amazing to me because it talks about some of the disciplines that you and I should have as brothers and sisters. It talks about, if you ever been to a healing service when they anoint you with oil, or a blessing service when they anoint with oil, that's kind of going to be covered in here. The idea of confessing to one another, like iron sharpening iron, that's going to be in here. This idea of prayer and praise. So this section is very, very relevant, as has been the whole book. But this section is really a neat opportunity for us to be reminded of some of those basic Christian beliefs. So we're going to start to read James, again, chapter 5, the final section, verses 13 and following. James says this. He says, "Is any of you in trouble? Then he should pray. Is anyone happy? Then let him sing songs of praise. If anyone of you is sick, then you should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up, and if he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth, and then someone should bring him back, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Again, just a pretty neat passage talking about some pretty incredible disciplines. Again, this idea that if you're in trouble, you should be praying. If you're happy, you should be praising. Yeah. If you are sick, then call the elders to come and pray and anoint you with oil. And then this really neat accountability discipline of confessing your sins. So we're going to spend the next few minutes going over a few of those.
Yeah, and of course, the first one that you hear in that little section of scripture is what do we do when we're in trouble? We pray. And what it's going to be is, what do we do in every one of these situations? We pray, we praise, right? And that's the importance that James wants to highlight in this little section. So when we're in trouble, I think we have that prayer down pat pretty good.
Yeah.
When we're in trouble, it's pretty easy to pray. I heard this story. There was this ship full of people, and of course it's nighttime, and the ship hits something, and it starts going down. And so everybody's in a bit of a panic, and the captain yells out to everybody on board, and he says, "Is there anybody on board who's willing to pray?" And the Christian on board, he thinks to himself, "Well, this is my chance. This is my time to shine. This is my chance to be a witness to all those around me." And so he stands up, and he says, "Captain, I can pray." And he says, "Great, everyone else grab a life jacket because we were short one." He just lets that guy go. Okay, you pray, you do your thing. Anyway, that's a prayer that we have down, is when we're in trouble, "God, help me, like I need help, be with me, help me." And it's that old saying, there's no atheists in foxholes, right? You know, everybody believes when they're in that moment of desperation and trouble when they need God most. And you know, most people can end up becoming religious under the right circumstances. But when we think of this idea of trouble, the word trouble that James uses, we're kind of in trouble quite often. When are we not in trouble? If we think about things on a broader scale, and you know, what about our world? Is our world in trouble? Does our world need prayer on a regular basis? Is our country in trouble? Yeah, like we should always be in prayer because there's always trouble to be prayed for, right? We should always be seeking God's wisdom and his guidance because there's trouble all around us. Even the church, there are times where the church is a mess, and if we get caught not praying, well, how much more trouble are we going to be in, right? I mean, when we look a little closer, we need to be people of prayer. Look at our world. Like, we're living in the days in which we got to be asking for God's wisdom. Because there's chaos all over the place, and I hate to be a downer in that way, but like, you think about even natural disasters. Like, you remember when earthquakes and tornadoes and all these different things were far and few between, and they just seemed to be coming up in the news a whole lot more often. And you know, extreme weather, it's not rare anymore. We've kind of become numb to it, and I think social media has played a little bit of a part in that. But there is a lot of chaos around, and so there really should never be a time where we're okay with not being in prayer and not seeking God, because there's trouble all around us. You know, I even think about the horrible terrorist attacks and stuff like that were always such a rarity and always shocked the world when they happened. And now it just seems like every day something's popping up on the internet and something horrible's happened and there's terrible people doing terrible things. We need to be praying. We need to pray for our world. We need to be praying for those who are being oppressed. Another example, do you guys realize that there are still nations calling for the destruction of Israel? And of course, that's because it's God's people, his chosen people. We need to be praying. And too often, prayer is an afterthought. And it just kind of makes me think of Billy Graham's saying, heaven is full of answers to questions that we've never taken the time to ask. And the reality is, guys, we're never helpless. Like, James has spent so much time here telling us about how we need to have deeds in our life and how we need to be helping people. Well, even if we can't be a part of that help physically, we're never helpless. We can always be praying. We can always be seeking God and asking for God's help for others, praying on others' behalf.
So James, again, says that if you're in trouble, then pray. That seems to be an obvious one for us.
Yeah.
But he says, if you're happy, then let him sing songs of praise. And I was thinking about this one this week. It's kind of interesting. Kathleen had sent me a little video of Austin, and he's got this little toy drum set, and he is just banging away and playing the drums. And we were joking. I said, we need to get him onto the worship schedule and put him into the rotation. Anyway, I'm excited that he's excited about music. I'm excited that he lives a life of praise at that young age. And I was going, that's amazing to me. You know, too often in our world, we don't praise as we should praise. You know, we get together on Sunday and we get together during our worship services and we join in. But do we really live a lifestyle of praise? You know, when I think of the early church, they were very, very clear that church was an outpouring, like an expression of what they were living all the time at home. Like the Jewish nation was really responsible when it came to sharing the word and raising their children in the way they should raise their children. And then the church or the temple was to help them with that, but they were already doing it.
Yeah.
And so I was thinking of this whole idea of praise. If we're happy, we should praise. Well, first off, if you're a Christian, you should be happy, right? Like even if they kill you today, you win. Like, there's nothing that the world can do to you because of what Christ has already done. We have nothing to fear because Christ has already made a way. And so as a believer, we should be happy. Well, if we're happy, James says we should be praising. I've been watching some of Netflix Westerns because my kids during this whole lockdown really wanted me to get Netflix. And so I made them each pay $5 along with Allison and I, just to teach them responsibility. And so now we're watching a little bit of Netflix. And I always love some of those old Westerns. When they're rebuilding a town or starting a town, one of the first things they build is this church. that you see them building the church, and the church is always in the center of town. And that's because there was this time when church was always a part of our lives. It was our social, it was our gathering, it was our community spot. You know, that's not so in today's world. And it makes me sad. Church is kind of an afterthought for a lot of our culture, and it really, really frustrates me. And I'll give you examples of those things. Again, I've been in Digby now 16 years, so I'm well known as the preacher guy. It frustrates me sometimes, and community, if you're listening, I tell you this because I just want to be honest with you. It frustrates me when you say, hey, we want you to marry us, but you've never, ever attended our church. Like, it frustrates me, and I don't have that much time. I've only got so many weekends in the summer, and I work on the weekends, and then if I take another weekend from my family, it gets to be a burden. And it's not that I don't love being a part of weddings, but if God is not a part of your life all year long, why do you want to be married in the church? It always confuses me.
Yeah.
And the other time I get is people will call me up and say, hey, we want you to bury my father or my mother. And I'm going, I don't even know them. And again, well, people have attended funerals here because we do a lot of, funerals for the community because we have a big congregation. And so people enjoy those funerals and they hope that I can reproduce that. Well, the reason why those funerals are special is because I've shared a life with those people that I bury. And I am friends with them, and some of them were mentors to me. And so it can be a beautiful celebration of life. But if I didn't know the individuals because they never ever came to church, it makes a funeral hard and sometimes impossible. And again, I do say no to a lot of community funerals and community weddings, not because I don't see them as an outreach, but simply because I don't have time with the size of our congregation to do all those things and to meet all those needs. But what grieves me most is that church and praise is not part of our lifestyle. And so I want to challenge you, if you're a believer, that James says if you are happy, which you should be, then you should be praising, and church should be something that you're made for. This idea of praise at home, at church, at work, at play, right? Like to be filled with praises and to be filled with that kind of excitement all the time, to be ready to give an answer for what? For the hope that you have in Jesus Christ. And so you should be happy, and you should be praising, and you should have a song on your lips and a testimony in your heart of what God has been doing for you, because this life is exciting. And you know what? That's that plan that God gave us, to let our light so shine before men. And James is saying you should be walking the line, and you should be happy living a life of praise. And anything less than that really, really is sad. We should be different as Christians. We've been saying that all along. Walk the line. Yeah. You should be different. Well, praise, people should know that you're a believer.
Yeah, it's a common theme throughout James. We should be different. And absolutely, praise is one of the ways that we do that. But the third way that James highlights here in chapter 5 is when you're sick, right? When you need healing. Another time that we're in trouble, really, but a time where we need to be seeking God and we need to be looking to prayer. The scripture says, you know, we should be calling on our elders together to anoint with oil, laying on of hands and praying together. Right? We got to ask for it. We got to believe in it. We got to take hold of that authority that's been given to us. And I think sometimes we don't grasp that truth. Like, we have crazy authority. Jesus told us himself, right? I mean, and put that power of Christ's resurrection to use. When we look at the scriptures, oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit, and we see how it was used even as a medicine in the Old Testament. Oil has always had a special place in the lives of believers, and when we pray in faith in the name of Jesus, healing can be ours. That's absolutely incredible to know the possibilities that can come to us with the crying out of the name of Jesus. This was actually something that I don't think I told you, but we, in our sociology class recently, that was one of our discussions that came up. We all started sharing, and it was a little bit off topic, but it was one of the coolest things we talked about. We all started sharing stories all online while typing, but it was still neat, of times where we called on the name of Jesus and watched him show up in miraculous, unreal ways that we just couldn't believe. And the stories that were coming out of this forum of what? Less than 20 students was absolutely mind-blowing. And what made us different from anyone else? Nothing. We just called on the name of Jesus. Just like all of you guys watching today, we're just believers who recognize the authority given to us when we call on the name of Jesus. Okay, so know that that authority's been given unto you. And you know, I think of John 15:5 even here. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Recognize what you have with your relationship with Christ. Matthew 21:22, if you believe, you'll receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Like, have you guys ever heard these promises before? These are promises from our Father in heaven. And it's not just the physical. Far more important than the physical, we can be healed spiritually. And of course, that story where those fellers lowered their friend down through the roof. Luke 5:23, if you're reading along, flip over to there. Pause the video real quick and then find your spot because I'm going to start reading right now. Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So he said to the paralyzed man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and he went home praising God. And we just talked about praising too. It all ties together, guys. Like, God longs to reveal himself. And what better way than by miraculously healing those who call on his name?
Yeah. Another section here that it goes into, which this section is kind of exciting to me, but I want to read for you verse 15. It says, if you have sinned, you will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Again, this beautiful imagery that prayer is powerful, yes, but then it talks about this idea of confessing. And I did want to spend a few minutes here this morning because if you have Catholicism in your background, confession is very normal for you, yeah. Right? And when you think of confessing, you go to confession, you tell your sins to the priest, and he gives you some instructions, and you go along your way. And confession is how we are forgiven, right? Yeah. But it's this idea of repentance. So where do we disagree a little bit from Wesleyans and Catholics? Well, we don't confess our sins to the priest. We confess our sins to Jesus. Jesus is our high priest, and Hebrews is clear on that. And so that's one of the little differences. But what I love about the Catholic tradition is that they're used to confession. And confession is powerful and it's good. And we as Wesleyans, like the Wesleyan tradition, they're not big on confession. And I think we should really change that. Like, I hope that we would be good on confession, that we would think about how we can be accountable to one another. And, you know, it's that old idea of if you have secrets, then secrets will question your integrity. Mm. Right? Like, what are you hiding? And oftentimes, even as Wesleyans, like, we don't want to look like we have anything messed up. Like, we want to have that idea of holiness. And so we don't like to admit our weakness or our faults. Well, in reality, we should be confessing our sins to each other and praying for each other. That's what James says, right? And it's this idea of accountability. It's this idea of helping one another. It's, of course, we confess them to God the Father through the Holy Spirit. We confess our sins and we're forgiven, yes. But when we're struggling with things, we should confess it to one another. Yeah. And we should pray for one another. And we should keep each other accountable. This whole idea that we need each other. And that's what James has been saying, that really, in reality, we're better together. That we're not alone. Not only do we have God who never leaves us nor forsakes us, but we are part of a family, and that's why I get so excited about church, and that's why I'm so close to my Christian brothers and sisters. And sometimes if you attend our church, you'll see that I'm very raw, and I try to be very real from the pulpit, and in everything we do, we try to be very open and real and raw. And I look at that, you know, that's exciting to me because we're supposed to be accountable to one another. And when we confess, we lean on one another. It's that old Proverbs 27:17, where it says, as iron sharpens iron, one person sharpens another. And we're to sharpen one another. We're to be good with one another. But I think in the church today, you know, in the Wesleyans, again, this is in all denominations, but because we've shied away from confession, there is a dulling of our sword, so to speak. You know, that I think sometimes our swords, which, again, we're supposed to keep our swords sharp and clean and active, and the sword of the Spirit, you know, which is the word we're supposed to be using. Yeah. But because we are not into this idea of leaning on one another and helping one another as we should to be accountable to one another, there's times when our sword is dull. Iron hasn't sharpened iron. It's rusty. You know, I think sometimes in the church, and maybe you've been hurt in the church, I have in the past, and I think that our swords are covered with the blood of our brothers and sisters as we stab them in the back, you know? Mm-hmm. Well, we're not to be harming one another. We're not to be hurting one another. We're actually to be helping one another. You know, if we would keep our enemy in sight, that our enemy is the devil, our enemy is the father of lies, our enemy is trying to kill, steal, and destroy, it says in John 10:10, right? We should be there for one another, not hurting one another, but leaning on one another. And that whole idea of accountability really reminds us that we're better together. And so I want to challenge you, who do you have with skin on that you share? Like, I share with Christ all the time. I share with God the Father all the time. I confess to the Holy Spirit all the time my shortcomings. But then I have these individuals in my life that I know I can call at any time during the day or night and ask them to pray with me, to pray for me, that I can confess to them, I'm struggling today. I'm struggling with doubt. I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with that. And the beauty of it is that they keep that a secret, first off, but then they really do pray for me. And they really do ask me how I'm doing and how am I making out. And so I want to encourage us that, you know what, I think that we've missed that a lot sometimes as believers. And the reason why we miss that is because we're not praying and praising. If we were praying and praising, that prayer and praise would change us and make us a little more vulnerable and a little more open. And then we would learn to confess to one another. I think that that's something that would just amplify your Christian walk. And make your testimony incredibly bright within and without side the walls of the church. It would be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, we absolutely are better together. And our relationship with Christ is first and foremost, but we suffer when we don't have one another.
We do.
100%. So that's kind of the theme of what we've been going over today, guys. I mean, praise and prayer are so, so powerful. And to close this off, kind of, James gives us the example of Elijah. And that story, if you want to go back and try and find it, 1 Kings, and it's chapter 17 and 18. And it's definitely worth reading just to see this example of God coming through. Not only God coming through, but the faith of Elijah and the boldness. And, oh, there's so many things going on in that story. Like, we went over it again before we...
Standing against a nation and all the incredible ways that God revealed himself. It's a really cool passage. So
go back.
First Kings, chapter 17 and 18. Just read it on your time. You'll be blessed.
Yeah. Like, Elijah's saying it's not going to rain for the next few years. Like, this isn't some little statement. This is... No rain. Nature will oppose you for 2 years, right? And sure enough, some incredible things unfold, and it's an amazing story. And so that's kind of our theme here, guys. Prayer and praise of the righteous are powerful, right? God longs to hear from you. We need to be living that. We need to be walking the line in that way. And in total, like, we hope you guys enjoyed this little study and how we've decided to do this, and I hope it's challenged you to a life of patient perseverance. That's kind of been James's thing. You know, like as Christians, living a life that sets an example of well, Christ-like living that shines bright to the world and even to the church around us. Yeah. And so...
It'll not just encourage us together as a family of God, but it'll change the community in which we live if we would live the life that God has called us to. It would.
Yeah.
It's so attractive to be free.
Yeah.
Like, it should change the
world. Oh, it should. Five little chapters. It's crazy how long we've been on it. Anyway, what I'm going to do, I'm going to pray, and then we'll close up. Father God, I just want to thank you for this in-depth study into James, and I'm thankful, Lord, that you've presented this in these last few weeks to us in a way that's made us desire to go over the whole thing in absolute depth, because there's so much here. And God, we're thanking you for the information and the knowledge that we've been able to get from this. Lord, we're praying for your help as we go forward. Help us to come to you in a boldness and confidence to call on your name in prayer. Lord, I pray that we would be found praising you more often for the blessings and praising you in all the good things, despite all the other crap that's going on, Lord. And so, again, we're just praying for guidance and wisdom as we go forward. Thank you for this study. Thank you for your word. And thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' beautiful and glorious name.
Amen. Amen. All right, guys, so next week, so excited that we actually get together. I'm pretty pumped about that. Just a few changes. We're allowed to meet up to 50 people. And so what we need you to do this week is call and let us know if you'd like to come to the 9 o'clock or the 11 o'clock service. We're going to give you a confirmation number. So if we're not here to get the phone and give that to you right away, please leave a message with your number. When you get here, all you got to do is park away from each other. They still would like us to practice social distancing as best we can, so don't visit in the parking lot. Come in one family at a time. If somebody's on the walkway, just wait till they get in. Then you come on in. When you get in the door, you'll sanitize your hands. You'll go to your seats. There'll be spaces between the rows. There'll be spaces between you and your neighbor. Unless you're a family that's been together all along, then just sit together. And we're so excited to worship and to praise. At the 9 o'clock, we've even got a baby dedication. I'm so excited. It's going to be good. So anyway, we look forward to seeing you guys. We've missed you guys. Again, if you're uncomfortable coming, wait until you feel comfortable. We just want church to be a wonderful, great experience for everybody, and we are looking forward to seeing whoever comes out. We're going to be available online through our podcast, so you'll still be able to listen to us in the weeks that are ahead.
But if you don't show up, you won't get to see our faces.
That's true, because we look at us.
You want to.
Anyway, we look forward to seeing you guys. God bless you, and have an awesome week in the Lord.